right, guys. We've reached the middle of the week. Week is cooking by here. Another great day in southern New England. Nice and sunny. Don't have any humidity right now. It's perfect. Couldn't ask for a better spring day. Really nice outside. As soon as I get off of here, I'm going to go back out and go for a nice bike ride. Anyway, welcome to the show today. We've got a very good guest, Ray McGovern, former CIA worker. He'll be telling us about his experiences, both during the time he served there and, of course, since, the things that he's seen happen and researched and found out about. Should be a very interesting, very eye-opening interview. Before I introduce him, as always, let me go into a few important and quick announcements here. Here at RBN, folks, we're still conducting the pledge drive. We're asking that you help us out in whatever way you can to keep this great programming going for you. And you can do that either by calling our toll-free number, 800-724-2719, and dialing extension 115. Again, that's 800-724-2719, extension 115. Or you can write in at the RBN office. That's RBN 1015 South Mays, M-A-Y-S, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Again, that's RBN 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Of course, you can pay through PayPal and go to republicbroadcasting.org and do it that way. Also, while there, you can order Aaron Russo's DVD From Freedom to Fascism for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling. Great DVD, great way to open people's eyes to the reality of the New World Order and what it entails. On there, he goes into a lot of detail, well, about a lot of things, but primarily focuses quite heavily on the Federal Reserve, something Ron Paul is wanting to get rid of, should he become our next president. Let's cross our fingers on that one. And, of course, the income tax, the fraudulent nature of the income tax and how they've used those two prongs to poke us with and downright smash us with. They've done a tremendous amount of damage, folks, to our economy, pretty much completed the job of destroying our economy through the fraudulent Federal Reserve System and its accompanying income tax system. So that's a great DVD to open people's eyes to that, the whole New World Order agenda. And again, you can get that from RBN. Also, my two books, actually several books, but the two main ones pertaining to current political issues, The New World Disorder, as well as Piercing the Fog of 9/11. I was actually on the website this morning, lulu.com, is where you can get my books, L-U-L-U. The best way to get them, actually, is to just type my name in. If you try to search for them by title, there's so many other titles that have keywords in when you search that way that they won't come right up, whereas if you just type my name in, they will. So, again, if you go to lulu.com, L-U-L-U.com, and type my name in, Charles Giuliani, that's G-I-U-L-I-A-N-I, unfortunately, yes, spelt the same way as Rudy, no relation. Anyway, they'll come up that way, and the books are The New World Disorder and Piercing the Fog of 9/11, both of which are substantially heavily documented, heavily referenced. You can see where I got my information from, and I tell you, after reading either one of those, if you have any doubt that we are in the midst of a monstrous and massive conspiracy for global government, global domination, I'd like to hear from you. Or if you doubt that 9/11 is an inside job after checking the 9/11 book out, I'd like to hear from you. Anyway, folks, stick with us. We'll be right back. We'll be talking with Ray McGovern, former CIA employee. Should be very interesting.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Hey, welcome back, folks. This is Truth Hurts Radio, your host, Charlie Giuliani. And we're here today with our guest for the next couple hours or so, almost a couple hours, Ray McGovern, former CIA. Actually, Ray, were you a CIA, what do you call yourself, an agent or?
No, I say analyst, Charlie, because that's what we did. We were in the receiving end of the information collected. So we weren't running agents as our clandestine service partners were. We were rather receiving this information together with all manner of other information and trying to make sense of it and serving it up cold, serving it up without fear or favor to the president and his senior advisors.
And you did this roughly when? Was it back in the 70s? Or?
I started under President Kennedy and served right through President George H.W. Bush. So I had 27 years in the service.
Wow, going back to Kennedy, back in the old McCone days, huh?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
No kidding, wow. So you must have seen quite a few interesting things over the years, I imagine.
Well, I served under 9 directors and 7 presidents, and last parts of my career ended me up in some very interesting jobs, including briefing one-on-one the president's daily brief down in downtown with the Vice President, Secretary of State and Defense, and 2 other high-level officials.
Wow. So, I mean, were you aware back then of things like Operation Northwoods? Of course, that was a Pentagon-created directive.
Yeah, no, that kind of thing would not have been any more accessible to us than it would be to you or anyone else. as you point out, that was a Pentagon machination, and it only came out years later. Other covert operations, similarly, we would not be clued in on. There's a rather hermetic seal between the analysts and the covert operators.
Right, everything's compartmentalized. And how about Bay of Pigs?
Well, again, that was run by the operational side. There was a director then, of course, Alan Dulles, who thought he knew it all. So he didn't pay much heed to the analyst that said, you know, this is really crazy. You really ought to look and see if it's true that this could engender a general uprising against Castro. The training started under Eisenhower. It sort of got a life of its own, as often these things do. And by the time Kennedy came in, he made the mistake of listening to people who really didn't know much about the Cuban situation but were unduly influenced by emigres. And this is an endemic problem. You don't get unduly influenced by emigres. For God's sake, Machiavelli knew that. Machiavelli said very early on that the worst possible source of intelligence comes from an emigre.
Do you think that we should have gone into to Cuba?
No, it was an idiotic thing. I think that if you look at the Cuba business, there was a legitimate concern when the Soviet Union was threatening us, and we needed to keep a close watch on how they might try to use Cuba as kind of an aircraft carrier to employ against us. But now that the Soviet Union has sort of imploded and the Cubans are pretty much on their own, the policy such as we have right now makes no sense at all other than as a means of placating the very wealthy and very influential Cuban emigres in Florida.
With hindsight, looking back, you do think at that time anyway that Castro, potentially with Soviet support, of course, did pose a legitimate threat?
Well, sure. You know, if the Soviets succeeded in placing medium-range ballistic missiles in Cuba, they would have stolen a march on us and had a deterrent that wouldn't quit, a deterrent very much like the one we had in Turkey, by the way, where we were right on their borders. So we were, President Kennedy finally acted very rationally and very courageously in the way he handled that crisis. Thankfully, he didn't listen to his blue-suited Air Force generals, General LeMay first and foremost, who were, you know, really eager to bomb the hell out of Cuba and the Soviet Union if it came to that. He insisted, and this is really interesting, President Kennedy insisted that there be a real Soviet expert in all of the discussions on this. And that expert was former Ambassador Llewellyn Thompson, who had served in Moscow for umpty-ump years, okay? And Thompson it was who had the courage to stand up just as Kennedy was ready to give Curtis LeMay carte blanche to do his work. Llewellyn said, "I disagree, Mr. President." Now, fast forward. Who would be allowed to get near George W. Bush who would ever say, "I disagree, Mr. President," you know? So what I'm saying here is that you need people who have the courage and the standing to say, as Llewellyn Thompson said, "I disagree, Mr. President. I had lunch with Khrushchev 2 months ago. I think I know him pretty well from my service in Moscow. What you need to do is give him an easy way to let himself down. And I think we can work something out if we handle the conciliatory message that he sent us, not the bellicose one that he sent." He sent two messages, Khrushchev did. And so Kennedy said, "Unload those bombs, Curtis, and we're going to try this path." And, of course, we know the rest of the story. That was a key, I think probably that was the next to World War II, that was one of the key moments in the last century, and it was nuclear war was avoided because Kennedy had the presence of mind to listen to other than the blue-suited guys who think they can do everything by bombing the hell out of people.
Yeah, the whole nation, probably the whole world, was on the edge of their seats there for...
I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch that, Charlie.
I was saying the whole world basically was on the edge of their seats there for quite some time, wondering which way that was going to go. That was quite a... a heated moment in world history.
Well, I remember I was an Army officer at the time. I was headed down to Fort Benning, and when we got to Benning, there were no grenade launchers there. And this was kind of the fancy new weapon that we were all training on, having our troops train on. And I asked around, and of course the reason was they were all down in Key West, every damn one of those rocket launchers. And you know, that gave me a more immediate feel for how close we were to invading Cuba after bombing the heck out of it. One of the reasons I mention all this, Charlie, is because we still have blue-suited generals around.
I don't know what's happening.
You still there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you just kind of faded a little bit. Yeah, I can hear you now. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the reason I mention this is because there are blue-suited generals still around, and they're trying to persuade the president, yeah, we can fly so high that we can cream the nuclear-related sites in Iran, nobody gets shot down, and nobody will even be fired at, and we can do that with these fancy new weapons. And
you know what, Ray, right now you're coming in too clear. You're kind of like peeking out. Oh, I think your mouth
okay.
Too close to the phone piece,
right,
or something. That's
this?
A little better.
How's
yeah, that's
this? Perfect. Okay. So, you know, if Bush lets himself be persuaded by these blue suitors and by President Cheney and by the Israel lobby to go ahead and try to take out those sites in Iran, we will be in a major world war, no question about it. And we run the risk of having our 150,000 troops in Iraq with their lines of communication severed by a very easy maneuver by some Revolutionary Guard divisions from Iran, just breaking lines between Kuwait and Baghdad. It's a very serious situation. The only saving grace here is that Admiral Fallon, who heads up CENTO now, and the others who are warning the president, say, look, Mr. President, these blue-suited guys, they can tell you that, and it's true, they can bomb a lot of things. But let me tell you, Mr. President, what happens on day two, okay, and day three, and day four. And so far, I think these people have been able to prevail. But Cheney is the wild card here, and he has the president's ear. And if he tells the president late in the afternoon, you know, the word at the White House, of course, is the last person to brief the president orally late in the afternoon usually prevails. And I think that exactly happened when Cheney went off to Australia, and the U.S. policy was we will never talk to the Iranians because that would be rewarding them for bad behavior. Well, Condoleezza Rice, probably she asked Henry Kissinger if he'd come down from New York and talk to the president. And they got to the president last Wednesday afternoon and said, you know, Mr. President, even the Republican congressman, they say that we have to talk to Iran. It doesn't make any sense not to talk. And so the president said, well, sounds good to me. So he changed the policy. Cheney gets back, and he's got to deal with a new situation. But don't count him out.
It's scary that it works like that, though, isn't it?
Pardon?
It's scary that it works like
that.
Oh,
it is very scary. So we have to do all we can to get the Congress to pass a provision in some law, some amendment that says the president is not allowed to start a war with Iran without explicit congressional approval. As you probably know, some of the Democratic congressmen and senators have tried to do that, including my own senator here in Virginia, and they've been unsuccessful. The provision has always been stricken out.
Right, right. Very interesting how things aren't working the way they're supposed to work. Before coming up to more modern times, I'm curious to get this long history. When did you say you started? Was it the early 60s?
63.
Mm-hmm. 60. Oh, so right, the year of the... So you must have been there when the assassination took place, huh?
Yeah, actually, I was in the Pentagon Operations Center at the time. It was really pretty black moment.
Now, what kind of work specifically within the CIA office? There's a Pentagon Operations Division?
Well, we were actually on a visit there, an inspection visit, to see what goes on there.
Oh, okay, right at the Pentagon.
Sure, yeah.
I'll tell you what, hold that thought. We'll pick up there when we get back from the break. Stick with us, folks. We'll be right back with Ray McGovern. Thank you.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
Okay, welcome back, folks. This is True Threats Radio, your host Charlie Giuliani. We've got Ray McGovern on as our guest. Before the break, Ray, you were talking about at the time you were at the Pentagon working?
Yeah, we were down there on a tour. We were analysts at the CIA, and we were needing to know how it was that the Pentagon's operations center worked. And so we were down there on a orientation visit, and that happened to be the day, the 23rd of November, 1963, when John F. Kennedy was shot in Dallas. But you had asked about, my early work at the CIA and how I got involved, and it goes back to my major in college, which was Russian Studies. In those days, that was the name of the game. That was the main danger to our country. And so I took Russian for 4 years, began to teach it, took my master's degree in it. And after I had done my 2 years obligation as an Army officer in infantry and intelligence, then it was a natural transition into the analytic ranks of the CIA, where my first portfolio was Soviet foreign policy toward China, Indochina, Vietnam, and so forth, and the international communist movement. And it was a very active account, and I was very lucky to have been thrown right into the maelstrom, so to speak.
So did you actually learn the language, too, or just the culture and the politics? And...
Well, it always helps to know the language, of course, and particularly in those days when we really needed to translate Pravda every day in Izvestia to find out what was going on. And the culture and the history, of course, is also important. But basically, analysts, after they've been on the desk for a while and assimilated all the information that comes into those ancient inboxes that used to be made out of wood. For your younger listeners, you might not be able to appreciate this, but we actually had inboxes made out of wood where all this stuff was put in. And after, you know, 6 months or so on that account, with a reasonable background in foreign affairs, you could make some judgments as to what the Soviets were up to. If you had a background in the language and the culture, of course, you were you had a leg up on all that.
Now, when Kennedy did, when the word got out, you know, you found out at the Pentagon that he had died, was there any feeling of elation among any of your colleagues? I mean, he was planning on, you know, basically shutting the CIA down, or was that kind of kept under wraps? Did everybody know that that was a plan that he had tossed up?
Yeah, I don't really think there's much evidence to support that. He had already been through the... he sent his brother Bobby over, and they had been through the agonizing reappraisal as to how the agency had had acted, particularly in the Bay of Pigs. And they had put a, they had fired some people, including Alan Dulles, and put a new regime in where they had reasonable expectation that things would work out okay. So I don't, you know, there wasn't a, there was no clapping or anything like that. Certainly not among my analytical colleagues.
He just kind of wanted to revamp it, I guess.
Yeah, well, you know, he had been badly misled, and he needed to stop having this tail wag the dog. In other words, the Dulles brothers, you know, when they were in under Eisenhower, it was Alan Dulles, head of the CIA, and John Foster, head of the State Department, and they cooked up all these schemes, you know. For example, overthrowing the duly elected government of Iran, 1953. A terrible thing. Yeah. And that's, you know, Americans don't realize that. But, you know, this guy Mossadegh, who was a very popular leader, elected freely, he had this bizarre notion that the oil under the sands of Iran belonged to the Iranians. Can you imagine? You know, he didn't realize that the British and the Americans are the ones that own that oil. And so when we realized that he had this terrible misconception, we overthrew him. And that was the beginning of our problems with Iran, and not many Americans realize that.
And not much has changed, has it? It's, here we are with talk of going in there again.
Yeah, it's really very bizarre. The biggest sea change that I've witnessed in 45 years here in Washington, Charlie, is that we no longer have, in any real sense, a free press. And that's big. That's very, very big. And that's why many of the American populace is dumbed down. They don't realize what's going on in the world. You know, one can understand. Many of them have two jobs, maybe three. They come home, they're tired, they put their feet up, get the kids in bed, and they don't want to have to focus on serious things, so they watch Fox News and think they're getting news and they're getting entertainment with a terrible bias. So without a free press, without the kinds of people we had around during Watergate and during Vietnam, we are really behind the eight ball, and the only solution that I see is to make more imaginative use of the Internet and the web. And I see great possibilities there, but it's going to take smarter people than I to figure out exactly what those possibilities are and put them into play.
Yeah, I can vouch for that. I'm on a chat forum called Pal Talk on a daily basis, and it's a great way to, you know, grassroots level to get the word out to people. Like, people come in from all over the world, in fact, and it's interesting to get their perspectives. You just don't have that opportunity, really, any other way.
Yeah, yeah.
The Internet, yeah, it is a powerful tool. It's mm-hmm. It's great. But if it wasn't for that, we would really be in trouble because, like you said, the media is just... it's not only not informing us of important things, it's disinforming us.
Yeah, or suppressing things. And I have a real story I'd like to relate on that.
Sure, absolutely. Hold that thought, and when we get back, we can do that. Stick with us, folks. We'll be right back with Ray McGovern.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour.
$15 for 2 hours.
And $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right, Republic Broadcasting. 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
All right, welcome back to True Threats Radio. This is your host, Charlie Giuliani. Again, our guest today is Ray McGovern, former CIA analyst. Just before the break there, Ray, you were going to relate a story about suppression in the media.
Yeah, Charlie, it's really interesting. Not only do we have active lies, but we have passive suppression, is what I'd call it, by the White House working on the media. And I have a recent case which really speaks volumes. Perhaps I can explain it for you. It has to do with Dan Rather, okay? Now, Dan Rather famously 5 years ago confessed, actually, in an interview with a British TV station, before me here, he says, quote, patriotism run amok, end quote.
I remember that interview.
Yeah,
BBC.
Yeah, right. Talked about it, this patriotism trampling the freedom of American journalists to ask tough questions. And then he says, you know, there was a time in South Africa that people put flaming tires around people's necks if they dissented.
Right.
And in some ways, the fear is that you will be necklaced here. You will not have a flaming tire, but you'll have lack of patriotism put around your neck. And that fear, it keeps journalists from asking the toughest of the tough questions, end quote. Okay? Now, that's 5 years
ago. He also said it's a job of the media to protect the backsides of those in power, which I found interesting.
Yeah. Well, okay, now that's 5 years ago. 2.5 years ago, he left CBS because he complained about the censorship and that he couldn't be courageous and tell the story. And now he's with HDNet with his own Dan Rather Reports show, okay? Well, let me tell you what happened here. The pressure is so immense, and it's illustrated by this story. The HDNet and Dan Rather Reports decided to do some investigative journalistic reporting on the neocons and how they started the war with Iraq. They picked a highly credentialed, often rewarded or awarded producer to do that, and she went to it and she interviewed all kinds of people, like Colin Powell's chief of staff, like several on the neocon side, as well as the usual suspects on the more pragmatic side. And she had something really good, and guess what? Dan Rather found it rather good, no pun intended, okay? all of a sudden, they get this call from the White House. The White House says, "What are you guys doing?" Next thing this producer knows, Dan Rather's executive producer is rushing into her office and says, "You know, you're gonna bring down the whole Dan Rather Reports operation with this kind of thing. What are you doing? You're fired."
Unbelievable.
Now, the taping was finished. The editing had begun. It was just a couple of weeks from running on the HDNet. And she's fired for doing this? All because Dan Rather got a call from the White House and it was Cheney's office? One call, and Dan forgets all this stuff about courageous reporting? I mean, here he is running the show. Now, he can't blame it on CBS or ABC. Here he is running the show, and he caves just because Cheney blows the whistle. Now, some of my more skeptical colleagues say, well, that's just because Dan Rather wanted to preserve his new acting career with Dirty Sexy Money, which is the new drama that he's in on ABC coming this fall. Tune into your local station. But I think it's much more serious than that. The point is that Cheney and the White House exert enormous pressure, even over those who style themselves to be independent, even over a guy like Dan Rather. What has he got to lose? I mean, he's 75 or so now. He's got his name for himself. Why should he be cowed into submitting and firing this producer for doing her job in a very expert manner? And this goes to the Constitution, in my view. And the Constitution guarantees freedom of press, freedom of expression. And if this is what goes on, if Cheney is able to exert this kind of influence on self-styled independent reporters, think of how serious it is with CBS and NBC and the other domesticated media that are owned by the corporate entities in this country. So this is kind of really serious stuff. And we can say, well, the leaders of the press and the media, they're equally to blame, and that's true. But the Constitution makes no provision from preaching them. It does make provision for impeaching the likes of Vice President Dick Cheney for violating the First Amendment of the Constitution, which is supposed to ensure freedom of the press, freedom of expression. And here we have a case study in how the system really works. It's abominable. It's new in this generation. And unless we fix it, we're all in serious trouble.
So you see a real serious downward turn. You know, I think the case could be made to some degree the media has been lying to us for a long time, but obviously it's never been this bad, huh?
Well, it started to go really bad after 9/11. You know, that's where this false patriotism came into play, where you had to wear an American flag. I consider that desecration of the flag when I see that flag on the likes of Alberto Gonzalez. I have to tell you, it really, really ticks me off. But the administration played this like a violin, and they associated Saddam Hussein with 9/11, and the media just caved. They just caved. And my friends tell me that this is largely because look who owns the media. You know, take GE, for example. They're making a ton of money on this war. I used to think that's sort of simplistic, but now I believe it's very, very true. And I had a congressman recently. We were having brunch together, and he looked at me. I had asked him some questions about how to explain. How do you explain, for example, congressman, how do you explain that your amendment that would have simply said that the president cannot attack Iran without explicit government, without explicit congressional approval. How do you explain that that was stricken from the legislation? He looked at me. He said, "Ray, listen to me now, okay? You've heard of the military-industrial complex? Well, it's real, Ray. It's real. Do you hear that? It's real." Now, this is a guy who's been around for 28 years. He knows it better than anybody else. That's the way it works, and there are a lot of people who make a lot of dough on this war, and those are the folks that are controlling media.
Yeah, well, I mean, GE, the bulk of its bread and butter comes from the Pentagon, so naturally it's conceivable.
Sure.
More than conceivable that they're not going to allow their employees to expose what's going on, or in fact, to the contrary, to cover it up.
Yeah, and the employees, of course, know this, so there's a lot of self-censorship among those that don't have the courage to leave, you know. You're not going to serve up a story that people don't like. That's why, you know, there was some reasonable...
Paid well, too.
What's that?
They're paid well to do it, too.
Oh, sure, yeah. There's lots of money for folks like that. Now, that's why, you know, when you get a Dan Rather and he says, "I'm going to strike out on my own. I don't want CBS censoring what I want to put out, and I'm going to have my own independent operation." And he commissions this program, which I know is great. By the way, that producer has got some independent funding now. She's going to do this thing anyway. She's re-interviewing many of the folks that told this story on her own. So this, look for it this fall. It's going to be really good because these folks, you know, these are very busy. Larry Wilkerson, you know, the chief of staff of Powell, he is in such incredible demand. He gave her 2 hours. And she went back to him and said, "Larry, I'm not able to use that 2 hours because HDTV or HD Dan Rather Reports owns it. Would you sit for 2 more hours? And you know what he said? He said, that is really so heinous that I'll sit for 4 hours for you because we have to get this out." Now, there's a patriot, okay? And she's getting that kind of cooperation from most of these folks, excepting, of course, the vice president's office, who will not be interviewed.
You know, Dan Rather did say in that same interview, May of 2002, with the BBC, that "I don't exempt myself from this criticism."
Yeah, well, he spoke truth in saying that. I just don't understand. I mean, Dan Rather, does he need a couple million more dollars? You know, maybe it's because I come from the Bronx and I just don't know what $1 million looks like. But once you have $1 million, what do you do with $2 million? I guess I'm...
Is he afraid of something, you know?
I guess I'm just not in the flow here.
Yeah, right. Maybe it's best we're not, huh?
Well, I think so. I sleep a lot better at night, and I have a lot more confidence when I look at the mirror when I shave in the morning.
Serious. You reach a point where I guess you don't have a conscience anymore. It doesn't...
You know, that's the definition, really, of a sociopath. Somebody who isn't encumbered by this thing we call conscience and who doesn't empathize with people who are hurting or doesn't think. And, you know, I think we have a sociopath or at least two in the White House.
At least two. No question. You know, Capitol Hill Blue had a couple articles back in the summer of 2004 on that very issue, Bush's sociopathic behavior.
Mm.
And it went into a lot of detail. I guess they interviewed some psychiatrists who were talking about he has all the classic symptoms of someone, you know, who has that condition. Mm-hmm. And I've since tried to go back. Fortunately, I saved the articles on my computer, but I went to go back to the original articles online, and they've been removed. Very interesting.
Before I knew about this sociopath diagnosis, I had coined my own little CDD, I used to call it, compassion deficit disorder. You know, it leaps out of his speeches and his demeanor. And actually, there's a very telling episode that Richard Clark tells in his book. It's the first National Security Council meeting under the new George W. Bush regime. It's the 30th of January, 2001. And he's talking about reversing the policy toward Israel and the Palestinians. He's saying, "Yeah, we know who our friends are. No more of this honest broker stuff. We'll support Ariel Sharon, come hell or high water." And Powell says, "Well, you know, that might be a little risky turning Sharon, And Bush strokes his chin and he says, you know, you ever been, ever fly over, Sharon told me, took me on a flight when I was governor of Texas, and we flew over the West Bank in Gaza, and boy, it looked real bad down there. It looked real bad. But I think we really just need to support Sharon on this. So, here you have a guy who says, it looked really bad down there, but is unable psychologically to empathize with the fact that three generations of people thrown out of their homes are being treated as badly as Jewish folks in Eastern Europe were treated during the pogroms.
I got a quote from here, very interesting. This is a statement he made a few years back. This is from the Bushisms books.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Volume 2. This is the emperor himself, George W. He said, there's nothing more deep than recognizing Israel's right to exist.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most deep thought of all. I can't think of anything more deep than that right, the right
wow.
to exist.
Wow. And where did he say that? Does it say?
It does. I just copied the quote onto my computer, but I don't have the book. But it's from the Bushisms, Volume 2, the Bushisms books there.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was in Washington when he said it.
Well, that's really telling, because the most interesting comment that I've heard on that comes from a person who's the quintessential insider. His name is Brent Scowcroft. He's an Air Force general. He was the National Security Advisor to the first President Bush. And under the second President Bush, he served in the key post of chair of the President's Foreign Intelligence Advisory Board. Okay? Now, out of the blue, about 3 years ago now, he gave an interview to the Financial Times. Now, bear in mind, Scowcroft is someone who was very adept at telling the press exactly what he wants to tell him and not telling them what he doesn't want to tell them. What he told the Financial Times was this, that Ariel Sharon has our president wrapped around his little finger, that he has our president mesmerized. Those are direct quotes, both of them.
Not surprised.
Now, he was canned right away. But why do you suppose Scowcroft decided to tell that to the press? Well, I can only conclude that he thought it was very important that the American people know that, and he was willing to be fired from this job, and he did get fired, of course. But if that is the case, the Israeli leaders have that kind of a hold on our president, with Dick Cheney sort of rooting for them at the same time, that's a very, very dangerous situation, because that is what would be the impetus for our striking the Iranian nuclear-related facilities, which pose no threat to us and only pose a presumed threat to the state of Israel.
Well, the same with Iraq, too.
Sure. There was a strong Israeli incentive for us to go into Iraq. Now, it was a terrible mistake. It was just really stupid in retrospect, because before we went into Iraq, there were no terrorists there.
Yeah.
The only thing the Iraqis were doing, I don't condone it for a second, but the only thing we were doing were paying handsome sort of benefits to the families of suicide bombers in Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the extent of the terror. Now look at it. It's teeming with terrorists, and the situation is much more dangerous for Israel.
So it was stable, prosperous, minding its business, and we went in there and just totally turned it upside down. And, of course, now how many hundreds of thousands of people are dead over there? Innocent Iraqi citizens.
Yeah, nobody thinks about them, but this estimate of 655,000 sounded very high. But, the university here in Baltimore, Johns Hopkins, was part of that study, and the British government has looked into the methodology and certified it as state-of-the-art methodology, the best there is, best practices. And so, it is 655,000. It boggles the mind. It's just, unconscionable.
And is that what they would call precision bombing?
Yeah, right. No, that's what they call shock and awe. I think that if Americans don't stand up at this point and say, this is criminal behavior, this is what Nuremberg called a war of aggression, and they defined that this way. They said to initiate a war of aggression is to perpetrate the supreme international crime, differing from other war crimes only insofar as it contains the accumulated evil of the whole. Now, why do I recite that? Because there are a heck of a lot of accumulated evils here. Witness torture, witness kidnapping, throwing people down black holes, not even telling their wives or their children, much less the Red Cross. That's what goes along with a war of aggression.
Did you hear Laura Bush's comments a couple of weeks back? Or about a month, maybe. Nobody suffers more than me and my husband over.
Yeah, that was Laura Bush.
Yeah, that is so disgusting. I mean, their daughters aren't even over there. You know, they haven't lost any kids. How can they possibly say that?
It just shows how detached they are from reality, I think, Charlie.
Yeah, absolutely. Be right back, folks. Stick with us.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Attention gardeners, if you've ever wanted to grow the absolute best tasting fruits and vegetables imaginable, well, here's exciting news. There's a new product called ProtoGrow, and it's dynamite in the garden. ProtoGrow is a bioactive superfood for plants. It works by providing true broad spectrum nutrition, allowing plants to achieve their full genetic expression. So what does this mean in the garden? It means mouth-watering fruits and vegetables, brilliantly colored flowers, herbs that finally grow to medicinal strength, blue ribbon garden produce jam-packed with bioavailable minerals and trace elements, giant pumpkins, even high-potency Hybrix wheatgrass. ProtoGrow is a proprietary blend of full-spectrum nutrients from the sea. It literally contains the basic building blocks of life itself. In fact, ProtoGrow is so effective at producing rapid plant growth in record time that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. To grow tasty fruits and vegetables right now, go to growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
Hey, we're back here on Truth Hurts. Your host, Charles Giuliani. I've got Ray McGovern on as our guest. You know, before the break, Ray, we were talking about this phony play of sympathy, you know, Laura Bush's comment. But there was also Barbara Bush's comment. In the wake of the Katrina disaster, you remember she made that statement about the suffering victims and the Superdome. They're quite poor, so this is working out well for them. They're used to this anyway.
Yeah, and why should she bother her pretty little head worrying about...
That was another one. Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
My beautiful, beautiful mind, I think, is how she worded it.
Yeah, right.
Talking about the dead in Iraq. Oh, my goodness. Unbelievable.
Well, it just shows, you know, we really got to upper class here that doesn't much know about real world. You know, when I started working, actually I put myself through school working as a caddy on a golf course where there were very, very distinguished people like Howard Dean's parents, okay?
Wow.
And when I went off to do that, this was out in Long Island, my grandmother from Ireland, she said, "Now, Raymond, let me tell you about the upper crust, because that's what you're going to be working with, the upper crust." And I said, "What about it?" She said, "Well, here's the definition. The upper crust is a bunch of crumbs held together by a lot of dough."
I like that one.
Yeah, she baked a pretty good pie, too, and she knew what the upper crust is all about. So that helped me in the year subsequent.
That's a good one.
But, you know, one of the things, just to kind of interject here, Charles, it's really interesting for me. You know, Colin Powell grew up a mile away from where I did in the Bronx. He was a year ahead of me in school. He went to City College in New York. I went to Fordham. He went to the Army ROTC, so did I. Again, he was a spit and polish guy, so he went into the elite Pershing Rifles. I avoided that. But we were both offered regular commissions when we were commissioned in the U.S. Army. He took it, of course, and took that path. Now, all of us growing up in the Bronx, and this applies to Queens, too, where George Tenet, former CIA director, grew up. All of us were told, we sons of immigrant families, we were told that, you know, you're just as good as the Yaleys, just as good as the Harvards, you know. Now, it's okay to be told that once or maybe five times, but when you're told that 150 times, then you begin to think, maybe we're not. You know, maybe that's why they keep telling us we are. Maybe we're not. And you know, then you have to cope with that. And the way Colin Powell decided to cope with that is to hitch his star to people who were the Harvards and the Yaleys, and there were lots of them in the Army, and as long as he saluted the next guy up in rank, he was smart enough to get zooming up to the top, even if it meant obeying a quasi-order not to follow through with an investigation of my lie, which is exactly what he did. So, you know, you get a guy who, you know, it's really a little bit insecure. He finds his whole persona in the U.S. Army, and when push comes to shove, and President Bush invites him in and says, "Hey, Colin, we've decided to make war in Iraq." You know, instead of saying, "Well, Mr. President, I'm your Secretary of State. I really would have thought you would have talked to me about this before deciding." Instead of that, he salutes and says, "Yeah, how can I help?" And you know the rest of the story.
Yeah, as long as you can check your conscience at the door, you're going to climb that ladder, I'm afraid. That's how it works. Folks, very interesting interview. Stick with us. You don't want to miss the second half. We'll be right back after the break.
A message for all homeowners and prospective.